building this nation. We are helping it thrive. Somalis have always seen themselves as a fabric of this nation.
As many of you know, Minnesota is drowning in fraud.
In Minnesota, a state with the largest Somali immigrant population in the United States, extensive welfare fraud schemes have siphoned billions of taxpayer dollars from federal and state programs, primarily orchestrated by members of the Somali community. The most notorious case, Feeding Our Future, involved fake nonprofits submitting bogus meal claims during the COVID-19 pandemic, defrauding over $250 million in child nutrition funds.
A brazen scheme of staggering proportions.
The largest pandemic fraud in the United States.
The subjects in this case weren't interested in feeding our future. They were interested in feeding their own gluttony.
We have new details on a jury tampering scheme at the center of a major fraud case. Federal prosecutors indicted five people for their roles in offering a juror $120,000 for a not guilty verdict in the Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. The U.S. attorney says the group targeted juror 52 because she was the youngest juror and appeared to be the only juror of color. According to court documents, they dug up information on her family online and even put a GPS tracking device on her car to track her whereabouts. During their investigation, investigators uncovered a video of one of the defendants leaving a bag of money at the juror's home.
Similar scams have targeted Medicaid's autism services, where providers inflated diagnoses among Somali children, jumping from $3 million in spending in 2018 to $399 million in 2023.
According to the charging documents, Hassan worked with others to recruit families from the Somali community, whether kids had autism or not. Prosecutors write that there was no child that Smart Therapy was not able to get qualified for autism services. Then, to drive up enrollment, they paid monthly kickbacks to families between $300 to $1,500 per child. Prosecutors say Hassan and her partners paid for it all through the millions worth of fraudulent Medicaid claims.
It didn't matter if the kids had autism. And what happened? Autism claims to Medicaid surged. In 2018, $3 million. By 2023, listen here, from $3 million to $400 million.
While housing stabilization programs created fictitious companies to build for non-existent services.
At the August trial for Abdi Fattah Yusuf, the jury heard evidence that he ran his home health care company, Promise Health, out of a mailbox at a Central Avenue address where multiple other home health care companies were supposedly located. Yusuf and his wife, Lowell Ahmed, were charged with stealing $7.2 million of taxpayer money through Medicaid overbilling in a personal care assistant, or PCA, scam. Despite the jury swiftly convicting Yusuf, Judge Sarah West last week decided they got it wrong. Judge West ruled that the state's case relied heavily on circumstantial evidence. Jurors in the case can't believe the decision.
I am shocked. I'm shocked based off of all of the evidence that was presented to us and the obvious guilt that we saw based off of the said evidence. It was not a difficult decision whatsoever.
Federal prosecutors, led by acting U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson, have issued 77 indictments in the Feeding Our Future case alone, with additional charges in autism and welfare fraud totaling at least 28 scandals since 2019, amounting to an estimated $1 billion in losses. These frauds extend beyond mere theft, with investigations revealing that millions of the stolen funds were funneled back to Somalia through informal hawala networks, ultimately supporting the al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group al-Shabaab. Some defendants in the Feeding Our Future case donated to prominent Democrats, including Attorney General Keith Ellison, and lobbied figures like Representative Ilhan Omar and former Senator Omar Fateh, who advocated for the programs.
And I want to thank also Amy and her team, Feeding Our Future, for making this first court victory a reality.
Things are heating up as President Trump terminated temporary protected status for Somalis in Minnesota on November 22nd, 2025, labeling the state a hub of fraudulent money laundering.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder. Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world. Yes!
Dismantling the system of control, it's InfoWars Sunday Briefing with Nick Sordor.
And welcome to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. I am Nick Sorter here in Washington, D.C. Again, this is like 2 weeks in a row now. Doesn't typically happen that way. I'm usually out on the road, but there's been a lot going on up here in D.C. And it's still technically Thanksgiving weekend, so spend a little time here in my home studio, which is kind of nice every once in a while. But, you know, as you guys know, many of you know anyway, I sort of just riff on this show. I don't have a script. There's never been a script. I don't read off of anything at all. I read stats and figures, but I pretty much just say what I want to say when I want to say it and make the producers' lives a living hell for that reason. But listening to this intro on Somalia, listening to this report of the rampant multi-billion dollar fraud going on there in Minnesota of taxpayer funds at the hands of Somali immigrants who shouldn't be here to begin with, should enrage literally everybody. It shouldn't matter if you're right or left. These are people that come into the country and on average, per person, over their lifetimes, cost the United States taxpayer $1 million each. $1 million each. And it's not even just that. They're stealing more money from the taxpayers that they're clearly not entitled to. And much of it has been found to go back to Somalia, to Al-Shabaab, which is a foreign terrorist organization. Now, of course, the Democrats are continuing to defend this. And, you know, we'll talk about that more later on in the show. Of course, you have that severely retarded guy, Tim Walz, that is running cover for this fraud that's going on out there constantly. And he had an appearance on Sunday morning talk shows this morning. Making me lose brain cells as I listened to him. But in the meantime, obviously a lot of things happened over the past week in D.C. alone with the unfortunate terrorist attack by Afghan nationals, or by an Afghan national on two National Guard troops. And I'm sure he would have taken out more had he had the opportunity to do so. One of them, Sarah Beckstrom, has passed away, unfortunately. And, I mean, it's just an absolute heinous attack, just blocks from where I'm at right now. I could hear all of the emergency sirens. I knew something was wrong. I ended up running in that direction to go to the scene because I knew something really, really bad was going on down there, and it absolutely was really, really bad. Beautiful procession throughout the city, and we'll get more into this later on in the show where we actually, I talked to a resident that was standing outside watching this procession, breaking down in tears, thanking the National Guard for what they're doing for the city and for the children, and hoping to bring this city back from the pit of hell that it's been in for years and years at this point. But beforehand, I want to introduce our guests today. We have TJ Roberts, state representative from the state of Kentucky, and a lawyer as well. TJ, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me on, Nick. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and so we've seen these two massive stories over the past week about, obviously, the attack in D.C. by an Afghan national that should never have even been here, as well as the Somalis out in Minnesota that never should have been here as well. And there have been calls going back quite a long time to denaturalize and deport people like Ilhan Omar would be a great poster child for this. for denaturalizing and deporting, committing immigration fraud, allegedly, to even be here in the first place and get her citizenship. Why is that not happening? Why are we not seeing any denaturalization proceedings? I believe that has to originate at the DOJ, correct?
It does, yes. There's two ways for denaturalization to occur. There's civil denaturalization, and then there's criminal. And they're both quite broad. When you have immigration fraud, you have various felonies committed. There's broad latitude of the federal government to initiate denaturalization proceedings on this. And it's something that needs to be considered drastically at this point, because we're looking at an existential threat to our nation, where there is a member of Congress who has made it abundantly clear that her priorities are keeping Somalia first and not America first. So it's something that does need to proceed. It's just a matter of, it's difficult. It's bureaucratic as can be. It would have to go through the judicial process, but it's absolutely a viable thing that can be done. And frankly, it should be done.
If you can't denaturalize somebody that is openly saying that they are fighting for Somalia, for a foreign nation, and they're still pledging allegiance to that foreign nation and talks about how much they miss that foreign nation, then who can you denaturalize? I mean, not to mention her immigration fraud part.
Right. I mean, it's now abundantly clear. The records have come out. She married her brother as part of the immigration issue. You can't do that. It's illegal in all 50 states. So Ilhan Omar is a prime candidate for immigration fraud charges. There's criminal charges to be filed under this. There's civil proceedings that can be done. And that's the point. If we can't do that to this individual, it sends a message that no amount of fraud will ever be enough for this system to do the right thing and actually enforce its immigration laws.
Yeah, and this is something that tens of millions of people, 70 plus million people, voted for in 2024, was mass deportations and denaturalizations of people that should have never been given citizenship. I mean, does the oath of allegiance to the United States, does that mean nothing anymore? Is that just empty words? You just have to say them and that's it? You don't have to actually mean anything by it?
Nick, I'll be level with you. As long as dual citizenship is legal, the oath to loyalty to the United States means nothing, because you'll never have a situation where every country is aligned 100% of the time. Citizenship is an oath of loyalty to that nation's interests above the interests of every other nation on the planet. And it truly means nothing if we are still allowing people to have the interests of foreign nations above that of America's. When I was sworn into office in Kentucky, I took an oath to the U.S. Constitution and to the Kentucky Constitution. I did not take an oath to Somalia's interests. I did not take an oath to any foreign nation's interests. I took an oath to defend America and especially Kentucky. And on the mass deportations issue, this is something that states need to be getting more involved with. I'm introducing legislation in January to require implementation of the 287G task force model so we can actually continue with deporting criminal illegal immigrants in Kentucky and provide a good force multiplier to ICE. And we need to get on this. Every state needs to get on this, because frankly, we are at a point where we are going to lose our sovereignty through mass migration.
I think we're well on our way to already doing so. And you see, Elon Musk said just yesterday that any violation of the oath of citizenship should result in deportation. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know anybody that truly loves this country, that is a true patriot, that would disagree with this statement.
No, it's common sense. It's the most basic principle that if you're going to be here, you are going to obey our laws. You are going to keep your loyalty to us. This is one of the most fundamental principles. If we are not enforcing that, what else are we not enforcing? That's one of those big issues that we need to address, is that if you are going to come here, and by the way, I support a full moratorium on all immigration until every illegal immigrant who is admitted under Biden is deported. But if we are going to let someone in, at the very least, we should demand their loyalty to this nation.
Yeah, and I mean, look, at this point, you've got I didn't even realize we were still bringing in immigrants from the third world. They just now put a moratorium on that, it seems like. They're putting a hold on claims. I don't know a single Somali, and I haven't been able to find anybody that can name a single Somali that has ever done anything to benefit our country. I don't care what benefits them. I don't care what benefits Somalia. I can't find anything that's benefited our country so far by bringing these people in here, besides the fact that they are burning through our hard-earned tax dollars. I think that's the only thing that I know that they're doing, and obviously creating a bunch of problems out in Minnesota. But I'm going to hold you over, TJ, till the next segment here, because I want to talk about Donald Trump's order terminating all of Joe Biden's auto pen orders. Stay right here.
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on. Where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product because it has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a loss leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much, so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime in the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing of anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air and be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay, because we've got the Alex Jones Network, we've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up, and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at thealexjones.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars, as we find to stay on here, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. Again, I don't own thealexjones.com. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there, be the news director, and we're going to continue on. And they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, we'll never give up, never back down, never give in, we could give out, is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates, you share them everywhere, you take the clips, you take the articles, you take the video links, and that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money, so we sell you great products that really work, so it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high quality food at reasonable prices, so you want to come back, there's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the ultramethylene blue or the sea moss or the other products and see how great it is. And that's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWars has existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here, but you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this, the other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com, and God bless you all.
right, we're back. The InfoWars Sunday briefing with Nick Sorter, and also have our great guest, TJ Roberts, here, state representative from the great state of Kentucky, as well as an attorney. And he's the perfect guest to have on for all of the legal stuff that's been going on this past week. One of the biggest stories that we have here was President Trump coming out and saying that he was hereby terminating any document that was auto-penned by the Biden administration. He said, quote, any document signed by Sleepy Joe Biden with the auto-pen, which was approximately 92% of them, is hereby terminated and of no further force or effect. The auto-pen is not allowed to be used if approval is not specifically given by President of the United States. The radical left lunatics circling Biden around the beautiful, resolute desk in the Oval Office took the presidency away from him. I am hereby canceling all executive orders and anything else that was not directly signed by crooked Joe Biden because the people operated the auto-pen did so illegally. Joe Biden was not involved in the auto-pen process, and if he says he was, he will be brought up on charges of perjury. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Now, TJ, we know that it's pretty easy for any president to nullify and terminate predecessors' executive orders, but you have people like Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was supposedly a Supreme Court justice, as you can see on the screen. This is the one that Joe Biden said before he got into office that he was definitely going to appoint a black woman with, you know, pass up all the other qualified candidates for Supreme Court justice and had to pick the retarded black woman. That's what she is. I mean, she's a joke. The running joke of the Supreme Court is Ketanji Brown Jackson. We all know that. Now, by law, it seems that the process is the president nominates, the Senate confirms, and then the president has to sign a commission for the process to be complete and for the appointment to be made firm and official. But if Joe Biden didn't actually sign the commission, is there an argument that can be made that Ketanji Brown Jackson is invalid and illegitimate on the Supreme Court?
There's certainly an argument that can be made. The most important, crucial aspect of this is whether or not the president specifically authorized this appointment and this commission to be signed. That's our federal statutes. That's our longstanding practice. The auto pen has been a controversial issue for years now. 2005, the Department of Justice issued a memo saying that the auto pen is okay as long as the president specifically authorizes the action. But there's a 2012 Law Review article out of Syracuse University that has an extraordinarily persuasive argument that it may not be. Some of the things that they've mentioned,
but that DOJ, just to be clear here for the audience, that is the DOJ, that's their internal policy, their internal viewpoint on the matter, right?
Yes.
That's part of the executive branch.
Right. This is not binding. The only time that there's ever been a case on auto pens was in 2024 on the Fourth Circuit. There was a challenge to a pardon on the ground that it was issued through an auto pen. They said that was okay because the president had the clear intent on issuing this pardon. But that's the point, though. There's still an argument to be made, though, particularly when you're talking about appointments of executive or judicial officers, signing of bills, that it's not okay. For one, there were several dissenters at the DOJ that wrote a separate opinion saying they disagree. Up until 2005, and even subsequent to it, there had never been a bill signed by AutoPen until the FISA Act of, I believe, 2011. Further, the Constitution is clear that these must be presented to the president. So it must be given to them. It's not the president or his agents. So, and by the way, the subjects of the prior memos was about the appointment of postmasters who don't even require confirmation by Congress and most certainly don't have one of the most important jobs outlined in the United States Constitution, such as that of a justice of the Supreme Court or an Article III judge. And so it comes down to that motive. And we actually see this right now as well, where invalid appointments result in the invalidation of every action taken by those people. Just recently, the left was cheering on the fact that the indictment of Jim Comey and Letitia James were dismissed on the grounds that the special prosecutor was illegally appointed. Wherever you stand on the appointment process of this special prosecutor, it's clear, and there's decades of case law dating back to even before I was alive, that the appointments clause is more than a matter of etiquette or protocol. It is among the significant structural safeguards of the constitutional scheme. And I'm quoting from Edmund versus United States, decided in 1997. It's one of those things that prevents the diffusion of the appointment power. The Supreme Court has opined on the importance of these structures. And when we let a machine handle this, it calls into question everything the president has done. Did they actually authorize this appointment? Did they actually agree to sign off on this issue as required by federal law? Right? So
well, it seems
it comes down to that.
President
motive.
Trump might have evidence that Joe Biden didn't know anything about it, because he's saying, like, and I'll read this quote again, Joe Biden was not involved in the auto pen process, and if he says he was, he will be brought up on charges of perjury. So I don't know if they know something that we don't, something more concrete, maybe some internal White House stuff that they might know about. But keep in mind, Joe Biden hand signed the pardon for his son. So I have a feeling that they had an idea that maybe the other pardons that were done with auto pen were legally questionable, like Dr. Fauci's. Fauci's pardon was done in the dead of night, 2 o'clock in the morning. And we have the emails that came out from Comer and the House Oversight Committee from a few months back talking about how the auto pen operator didn't actually want to sign those pardons because they weren't getting any word from the president himself that he wanted this done. They were only getting it from his advisors. And that calls into question, like, okay, well, if it was authorized by anybody but the president of the United States, it should be pretty cut and dry. Fauci's pardon is invalid.
Exactly. And that's the point where you look at the timing of this, you look at the use of the auto pen. I don't think Biden intended to pardon Fauci. I think it's a disgrace if he did. That said, if he had no knowledge of this and some staffer used his signature to issue a pardon, it is invalid. The only person with the power to grant clemency or pardons for federal crimes is the president of the United States, not his secretaries, not his interns, no one but the president. So there's a significant argument to be made on this. And once again, invalid appointments, invalid signatures, that is to the point that the only constitutional remedy is invalidation of the action. And that's from United States versus Trump in 2024 on the classified documents case, where the argument was the special prosecutor was illegally appointed, therefore their actions are invalid. Here, if the president did not authorize the pardons, they need to be set aside. And there needs to be justice on this. Fauci has committed crimes against humanity, and he must be held accountable for it.
So we're going to have a hard break here, but I do have a follow-up question for you, if I can just hold you over for a few more minutes here on the opposite side, because, you know, I want to know about these other judges, all these activist judges. We'll be right back.
You are beyond insane if you don't support us, if you don't support this broadcast. I mean, I'm being honest. It's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's like going into the Sahara Desert without a canteen of water. It's like sticking your wiener, you know, in somebody that's got 14 diseases without a condom. Sorry for the gross thing. The point is, shouldn't do it anyway. So the point is that I need your support. And I'm only going to sell you stuff that works really great. Like I said, I've opened a restaurant to be the best food, best prices, best atmosphere, quality, service, because I want you to come in 1,000 times. I want a relationship with you. The products are insane. Ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Iris Sea Moss, the bovine colostrum, not a sexy name, but what it does for your hair, skin, and whole body, everything else is insanely good. And we got the biggest sale in the history of the theolivesoilshow.com right now, running until Friday. Black Friday comes early. Buy any supplement. You can buy a supplement that costs $20 and then get a $40 supplement for free. It's not just buy one, get another free of the same thing. We've done that quite a few times. This is buy any supplement, get any other one free. All the new designs, all the new apparel in, the biggest selection of Patriot apparel in the world. Now 670-something designs, ball caps, you name it. 25% off on all that and a bunch of other insane sales. If you're a VIP, you get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers. Anybody, anything should be a VIP. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. Share the live feeds.
What are you looking at? Do you have a problem?
You are the backers of this operation. You are the InfoWar. So go now to InfoWarStore.com, where we got probably the final shipment of the highest quality fish oil and the highest quality turmeric, Body's Ultimate Turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Those are both 40% off. I want to thank you all for your past support, but you've invested in this operation. It's paid off in global awakening. It's been so incredible. Thank you so much for being at the heart of this operation. So as all of our family members in the InfoWar, all of our team members, all of the emissaries, all the ambassadors of freedom against the globalists, that now at the thick of the battle, as you see it peaking and peaking and peaking, just as I've said, I don't come out here and talk about civil war, their plans for insurrection, their plans for military coups, just to sound scary. And then now they're openly calling for it. U.S. senators, members of Congress, CIA, because we're beating them, and it's the last move they've got. We're also going to add a link at InfoWarsStore.com today. You can make straight donations on there so that we get all the money and we can get past the shortfall. So I don't want to spend our valuable time on this.
Truth they don't want you to see. You're watching InfoWars Sunday Briefing with your host, Nick Sordor.
All right, we are back with TJ Roberts again, Kentucky State Representative and attorney, a very great attorney, actually, one I've been using for a long time. And, you know, TJ, I want to continue a little bit more on that last segment, because one of the most important roles of a president and their legacy is their nomination of judges, right? And seating judges on the bench for lifetime appointments, right? So Joe Biden had, let's see, 235 confirmed Article III judges that he appointed. So that's one Supreme Court justice, 45 circuit court judges, and 187 district court judges. And then two on the Court of International Trade. And almost 30% of these were black women, which black women make up, I believe, like 6.5% of the population. So it's not because, oh, he's looking to see, you know, trying to make it fair in appointments. I mean, we're going full on DEI in the court system at this point. But the vast majority of them, and actually there is no record so far that I've been able to find of Joe Biden hand signing any of the commissions for these 235 confirmed Article III appointed judges. So we already talked about the potential challenges that can be made to the legitimacy of these judges, but you look at what's going on now with a lot of these that are going at these district court judges in particular that are blocking practically everything President Trump is trying to do, even telling him that he has to allow ICE agents to be, you know, beaten in the streets and their facilities to be overrun by Antifa terrorists, and he still can't use the National Guard to guard the federal facility. Pretty wild. Would this argument, if they were successful in saying that, okay, well, because the commission wasn't signed by the president of the United States, which was Joe Biden, and these judges are, say, removed from the bench or something, does that vacate any order they've given? Like, if any of them have put people in prison, does that change anything? You've seen some of them that have gone after, in my opinion, have violated Second Amendment rights by going after giving long prison sentences to political foes. And then actually there in Kentucky, you've got a case with Brett Hankison, I believe, that is now in federal prison. And the goal of the judge was to make an example out of Brett Hankison. When the prosecution was asking for like days in prison, he got years. So what's your take on that? I mean, what would this do to the orders that have already been given by a lot of these activist judges?
Sure, Nick. So it would not disturb the orders ultimately in the event of vacating the offices. There is a principle in law known as the finality principle. When you're talking about prison sentences, that's where a habeas petition could theoretically be made to say this judge was improperly appointed, therefore this sentence should be vacated and this person should be released. A habeas petition is what you do when someone is being illegally held. As for civil orders, you're going to run into issues with the finality principle. It's a longstanding principle in law that unfortunately has led to the Supreme Court going so far to say that it is constitutional to execute someone that the government now knows to be innocent. That was in Herrera versus Collins. It's a terrifying case. It's a terrifying principle. It makes sense in some contexts, but there isn't a lot of good news on that end. And I just want to close by saying, if I was ever appointed to the federal judiciary, and it was because a president made a pledge that they are going to appoint someone of my race and my sex, I would be humiliated.
Yeah.
No matter how qualified I am, everyone is going to be questioning my qualifications to sit on the judiciary. I'm sure there are plenty of people, regardless of race, regardless of sex, who are qualified to sit on the federal judiciary. But Joe Biden's public pledge to engage in blatant DEI practices, prioritizing race and sex over merit, calls to question every single appointment that he made. It would be humiliating for me. I would reject the appointment. I would refuse to sit on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, like, everybody at this point knows Ketanji Brown Jackson as the DEI appointment. Everybody, including the Democrats, know that that she was put in there specifically because she was a black woman. I can't even. I think about it, like, I'm embarrassed for her, but she doesn't seem to be embarrassed by it. You know, she's. I mean, I guess it just depends on your IQ, whether or not you'd really feel it. Anyway, I mean, you've seen the, I believe it was Justice Barrett that wrote a scathing rebuttal to something that Ketanji Brown Jackson said earlier this year, basically clowning on her and making sure that she knew that she was the dunce of the highest court in the land. And, you know, look, these other orders, because President Trump said that 92% of these documents bearing Biden's signatures are terminated. Is it that easy? Like, what else are we looking at? I mean, besides executive orders, I mean, you got commissions we talked about. We have pardons. And if I guess the argument would be to say, so with the DOJ in this case, if they wanted to go and prosecute Fauci, right? So President Trump says that all the AutoPen documents are hereby terminated. So if they try to go after Fauci, Fauci's attorneys are going to say, no, he was pardoned. And then it's going to be, the burden is going to be on the Trump administration to prove, correct me if I'm wrong, that this pardon was done without the knowledge of the president of the United States.
That's correct. Yes. So the DOJ would have to indict almost immediately a motion to dismiss would be filed by Dr. Fauci, Mr. Fauci, I refuse to call him a doctor at this point, his criminal defense attorneys, at which point there would have to be an established argument that Biden did not authorize this, he didn't know about this, and therefore the pardon didn't actually happen in accordance with Article 2 of the United States Constitution. So it would be interesting to see where that goes, and that's a highly untested water. But I mean, that Fourth Circuit decision that I was referencing, it really does give us some guidance that the thing that really matters is, what did the president authorize? What did he not authorize? If the president authorized it, okay, that pardon is there. We can't disturb that. But if Joe Biden did not authorize this, then then the auto pen is improper and the pardon is improper, at least in one circuit. And there's no circuit contradicting this.
Okay, and then quickly before I know I've been holding you forever, TJ, and I really appreciate you being here for this. But yeah, we have more legal stuff on the docket here. We have James Comey and Letitia James. It looks like that case has been thrown out by a judge, a district court judge in, I believe, South Carolina. I don't exactly know how that works, because that wasn't
Virginia.
The judge in the case. Was it in Virginia though? I thought it was a different judge that they. I don't know what it was, but regardless, they threw out the case. The statute of limitations, it seems, because he was indicted and the case was thrown, and the indictment was thrown out on a procedural issue, that the statute of limitations that would have otherwise lapsed, they would have 6 extra months now to be able to refile that indictment. Does there have to be another? If that's true, does there have to be an? Yes, see, it was a South Carolina judge. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand exactly how that works, but they can refile. Do they have to bring it before a grand jury again and start the whole process over?
Assuming that there is a way to renew the statute of limitations, which I haven't looked into that well enough, I generally don't do federal criminal defense law. But that said, in the event that there is a way to do it, then yes, they would have to reassemble a grand jury. They would have to have a prosecutor that's properly appointed. They would have to present this to the grand jury, who would have to return an indictment. Yes.
Yeah. So, State Representative TJ Roberts, a true patriot. Where do people find you, man?
I'm on X at RealTJR Roberts, and you can also check me out on my campaign website, which is VoteTJR.com. You can also check me out on legislative stuff, legislature.ky.gov.
Yeah, this guy's a rising star. You'll see him in the U.S. Congress one of these days. You probably wouldn't be saying that, but that's going to happen. All right, we'll be right back.
My fellow InfoWarriors, we are having right now, in late November into early December, the biggest sale in the history of InfoWars. That's in 28 years. You know why? It's the InfoWars closing mega blowout sale. And some would say, well, the bad guys are about to take it over. Why should we support it? There's not even enough money in here to keep us running until they have the state auction, or they're saying mid-December to early January. And here's the catch. If they have a real auction and allow good guys to come in and bid, well, then we'll just continue on. I just won't be the owner. But you already saw the federal auction that even the judge said was a fraud and wasn't real to The Onion and Bloomberg and the Democrats. And so, because they're the plaintiffs and they control what's happening through the state court judge that ran the original show trial on us, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, barring a miracle, they're going to, you know, auction it to themselves for $1 or whatever, and then this place shuts down. We've got the Alex Jones Network, our great sponsor, Bigly. But I'll tell you this. We'll shut down for sure if funds don't come in to InfoWarsStore.com. Remember last year when The Onion, this time last November, announced they owned us, sales went down over 75% and have stayed like that because people were like, well, we're not going to give them money. But of course, the judge ruled they didn't buy it. And of course, The Onion says now they intend to try to bid and get it again.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
But regardless, it doesn't matter. Our tank is on zero, basically. Okay, we're on E. This is just enough money coming in with the products we have to pay the payroll, to keep the lights on, and to operate to see if this final Hail Mary shot with the state auction works and if good guys are actually allowed to buy it. Remember, the plaintiffs have said they don't want money, they want us off the air. So I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go right to the line here. And this is the biggest sale. You ever heard us say 75% off? That's right. And the products we have are products with great manufacturers, supplement makers that love us and have been giving it to us on spec. So this is all fresh, ladies and gentlemen. We've been in bankruptcy. We've not been able to buy new product. But with this system, we have the product on hand, ready to ship to you, and you're guaranteed to get it. So take action right now. Emergency fundraiser, last chance to save up to 75% at InfoWarsStore.com. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, the very strongest, 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the highest quality, incredible, 40% off. Prebiotic Fiber, 75% off. Pain MD, an incredible natural pain reliever, works incredibly. This is a product that I came up with top designers. Final run of that available. Pain MD, 60% off. Nitric Boost, a fan favorite. Dr. Judy Mikovits loves it. Cleans out the heart, sodium for the cardiovascular, spike protein detoxer, and men have a great effect, let's just say, in the man department with it. Nitric Boost, 40% off. Plus, great deals on books, DVDs, shirts, hoodies, and other items at InfoWarsStore.com. So this is probably the last run. These are collectible items. It's history. Help us fight right up to the end, never giving up, and trusting in God for a miracle if that's God's will. But God works through you, so take action, which is probably the last time you can, here in the next month at InfoWarsStore.com.
Is there going to be a large set of plaintiffs who are going to be dividing up the corpse of InfoWars in the bankruptcy estate?
And money is just one component of that, and not the most important component of it.
Take Alex Jones' platform that he talks about away.
And if you're considering giving him money, I just want you to know that based on the jury's verdict today, it's not a very good bet.
The money's not even really the question for me. The question is, will this suit be successful at stopping him from being on the national stage?
Take him out.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. I am Nick Sorter again. And look, I know the entire show has been just me ranting and raving as usual, which is sort of the point of the show. I mean, I spend all week tracking the news very, very closely, as you can probably tell by my Twitter feed or X feed. And I've been harking on this particular issue since day one of the administration. These millions and millions of people that we've let into our country and continue to apparently let into our country up until a few days ago, these third worlders that don't add any value to our country, that drive up housing prices, that drive up our national debt through the tens and hundreds of billions of dollars in welfare benefits like EBT and SNAP and housing assistance, you know, Section 8, and you name it, all this alphabet soup of welfare programs that they take. And what? How do they repay us for that? Well, they come to Washington, D.C. out here, the capital of the United States, and kill our National Guard troops. And not even just that, we just had another one a day before that came under Joe Biden in 2021, under this botched BS operation in withdrawing from Afghanistan, this guy that was arrested in clip 10 here, an Afghan national arrested for making a terrorist threat, claiming he was building a bomb to blow up Fort Worth. Yeah, roll that clip for us, guys, if you can. Clip 10.
Well, this just in, we have a Fox News alert from Brooke Taylor. You won't believe this. DHS is confirming that an Afghan national was arrested Tuesday after posting a video of himself on TikTok indicating he was building a bomb with an intended target of the Fort Worth area. Mohammed Dawood Alukazai is charged at the state level with making a terroristic threat. According to DHS, listen to this, he came to the United States as part of Operation Allies Welcome. So here you have it. This happened Tuesday. Texas Department of Public Safety. This is a second Afghan national. Second one this week. Operation Allies Welcome. He had a terror plot. We know it comes the same week that that deranged individual, that alleged assassin, took out two of our heroic National Guard, came here on the same program, Operation Allies Welcome, a program that we were assured time and time again by Mayorkas, by Jen Psaki, by Joe Biden himself, was safe and secure. But here we have a second data point in 1 week that it was not safe. It was not secure. And we've got to look very hard at this program as President Trump is vowing to make change.
Yeah, so we're not just making this up when we say that the Biden regime was talking about how thoroughly all these people were vetted. These this 100,000 people that came in on overloaded C-17s, military planes. You've seen the pictures of them all crowded in together. And the planes were actually taking off overweight out of Afghanistan because there were so many people, mostly military-aged men, in these planes. This infamous video here, them all running, you know, apparently this fully loaded C-17 with all those people in it still didn't have enough room for these thousands of other Afghan males that were on the outside there. And Jen Psaki saying, and I won't even roll the clip because you've probably even seen it at this point. She says, in 2021, I can absolutely assure you that no one is coming into the United States of America who has not been through a thorough screening and background check process. And I want an update from you, Jen Psaki. I want an update from you. Can you circle back on this one for me? It's crazy to me. We all knew that they were lying at the time. We all called them out for lying at the time. But Joe Biden said it, not because any word that Joe Biden says really means anything, because he has no idea what the hell is going on. You had Mayorkas that said it, a guy that should be charged with treason. He's very unlucky that he didn't get a pardon. That's probably the first person that I would charge with treason, because Obama won't be charged with it. Mayorkas should be, for allowing this to happen. We know that there's no way to do background checks on these people that came into the country from a third world hellhole like Afghanistan. How do you do thorough vetting on those people? You don't. You cannot. You hope and pray that maybe they won't kill our soldiers in the street or blow up train stations or something in the United States of America. But this guy down there, Mohammed, whatever his name is, I'm not even going to say his name. Screw this guy. They have a video of him. Clip number 11, where he says he wants to, quote, kill anyone who opposes Afghans. And he planned to build a car bomb in his taxi. Of course he planned to build it. I mean, it's like every Uber driver that I get, every Lyft driver, every taxi driver I get up here is named Mohammed or Abdul or something like that. So I'm not surprised that he's a taxi driver. I don't know why we don't screen any of these people. I don't know why Uber doesn't do it. They don't bother. They don't care. But go ahead and roll this clip, guys. This is clip 11 here. I'll cut it off at like a minute.
که تو این تاری چرا کامنتاری میکنی؟
تکرار سرطان سرطانم
این تکرار انتحاری میکنم. I will commit suicide on anyone who has a problem with the Afghans. That's what he says in whatever the hell language this is. So I'm not even going to bother playing the video because it's in whatever. I don't even know what language that is. And I don't really care. I don't really care what language it is. This is like going on how many years now? It's been 4 years that these people have been in the country, and they're already trying to and have successfully staged terrorist attacks on American soil. In 4 years, two of them were attempting to do it right around the same time. And DHS Secretary Kristi Noem said today that she believes that he was actually radicalized in the United States of America. So this conspiracy theory that there are sleeper cells in the United States waiting to be activated is no longer a conspiracy theory. Who radicalized this person in the United States? Who radicalized this other guy that we just saw yelling on a TikTok live about the fact that he was building a car bomb and apparently he wasn't bluffing? Who is doing it? We don't really know, because we don't know who Joe Biden brought into the United States. Joe Biden doesn't know who Joe Biden brought into the United States. It goes further beyond just the 100,000 Afghans that were brought in through this program. That's just through this operation. I don't even remember exactly what, whatever the operation was where they brought them from Afghanistan. You got to add in the Afghans that came across the border. illegally, and all the third world Muslims that came across the border illegally, and the Somalis. They're all on the same page. They're on the same team. They all equally hate the United States of America, and they can work together to undermine the United States of America. So the fact that we are just pussyfooting around this issue, and we're not seeing mainstream calls at this point for the military to be going out and removing these people. I don't care where you remove them to. They just can't stay here. They don't have a right to stay here. And the problem that we're looking at, if we don't get serious about doing it, then the first thing the Democrats are going to do when they take control, because they will if they continue to have these numbers, these, keep in mind, the population of these people, that adds in to their congressional district count. So the more of these people they have, even if they can't vote, they still contribute to the number of House seats that Democrats have, because it's based on population, not legal population, just population. And I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know if we're worried about politics or, oh, no, I mean, some Afghani who hates our country, his family might have to go home with him. I don't know why we can't. I mean, all he's going to do is he's going to raise his kids to hate the country just as much as he does. So why is that controversial? Every single one of them needs to go home. And no, I don't feel bad about it. I'm sorry. I don't. Because if you are going to tell me and you are going to claim to the United States of America that you are seeking asylum and you are a refugee from a country that is so dangerous and so horrible and you're going to be killed if you go back, and your modus operandi is to come over here and try to turn our country into whatever hellhole you just came from, then I'm sorry, that's a pretty piss poor argument as to why we shouldn't send you back. So I'm going to I say it all the time, and I'm going to say it again. Until we get the military involved in deportations, we will never get the numbers that we need. Most of this is for nothing, because as soon as Democrats get control, if we only deport 2 million people out of the 20 million, it'll mostly be for nothing, because the other 18 million will just get citizenship. That's just how it is. Really appreciate you guys joining us today on this Sunday after Thanksgiving. Hope everybody had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll be back same time next week. I'm Nick Sorter. Thank you guys for being here. Take care.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right. Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend after before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. Ends Friday, November 28th. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free, that are the top apps, just in the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app, your desktop or phone, you get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.